Amen.
Amen.
You may have your seat in God's presence. Hallelujah. Can you just welcome someone to your left and your right? God is good, right? And all the time. But it's an amazing season of our lives, right?
Yes.
You know, one thing I enjoy about anything that, in quotes, we might say that, or we might think maybe it's not the best of the situation, is to look for opportunities that God has put in those periods for me to thrive. Because in those seasons, or in those periods, the best most of us do is survival or managed survival. But God actually even wants us to always be above and beyond of every situation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For example, if you're hoping to have something, you don't have it, you should be thriving before even you have the thing that you're expecting to have. Okay, so today I think I'll see there's a particular thought that God dropped in my heart this morning. And I'm seeing how we would be able to tie it to the normal Christian life that we've been looking at. I think this is the third attempt for us to maybe look a bit deeper into what God is saying to us around this. And I think last week, Wednesday, I did emphasize pretty much that God is not planning that you will look like someone else. The plan for God, or what would bring God joy, is that you look like Jesus. If you look like someone else, it wouldn't have brought glory to what? To God. Now, it can bring self fulfillment. For example, some of us were hoping to be like our mentors. Maybe if you are in a particular field, you know. I don't know if anybody here is hoping to be like Elon Musk. Nobody. Wow. I hope you're hoping to? You like him. Just like him more. But there could be, you could be hoping to be like him. He's a very strange human being. Yeah, because he does a lot that I'm not even sure in our own lifetime we've seen in a human being doing some of the things he's doing, actually. It seems to be an outlier of so many things. But in as much as people intend to be like, you know, you aspire to be like great people, which is very good. I, for one, if I'm trying to meet up with a target, maybe a career target, I try to look at the people that have done that thing, and I try to see how they even step by step go to that thing. For example, maybe I want to get a promotion in a certain role, right? I'll go and look at someone who, from my current role, moved into that role, and probably see maybe he did a certification or, so I'm trying to be like that person. But in this, our Christian walk, God only wants us to be like Jesus. Like Jesus is the model for us to labor to look like. Hallelujah. So in our normal Christian living, we are not striving to be like someone else. Hallelujah. But rather, we are maintaining the originality that God has introduced in our salvation, and we growing every day, we are looking like Christ. And Bible says, as we keep beholding him, we would keep looking like him. That's what the Bible says. The day we stop beholding him, we might start looking, or we will certainly start looking less of him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now today, let's start from Romans chapter 12. And we would look at, I think, three scriptures that talks about the just. And we would call it a day afterwards. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Please, if you need water, please just ask any of the ushers. They should give you. I think this period, let's just have water. I think people get easily dehydrated these days. Why so many? Some people have swallowed all the blocks in their freezer. My wife is laughing. It's our house. You come to us and you're looking for ice block. You can't find. Everybody has color B1. You say, that's my ice block. That's my ice block. Everybody's trying to survive this weather. Even me, when the daddy of the house come, no ice block for me because everybody have. You say, that's my ice block. Hallelujah. So please, I think if you need water, please just ask and you shall be given. So it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. There are three words there that I want us to pay attention to. A living sacrifice that is holy and that is acceptable. A sacrifice that is living, a sacrifice that is holy, and a sacrifice that is acceptable. And so in our everyday life, we must have ourselves at this junction where we are working to ensure that our lives, we are alive, number one. We are alive, we are holy, and we are acceptable to God. Let's read further, and we'll come back to these three important things. Because if you say that you don't want drama in your life, then you need to have it the way God wants it. So when they say something is acceptable to God, or when they say something is holy to God, or when they say something is living before God. Let's go to verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's read the first verse in maybe Amplified or any other version. Any other version that you put. Okay. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and I beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication. Can you say decisive dedication? Of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculty. Now, when you look at this, this is not just your physical body. And I'm not even trying for us to say this is your body, soul, and spirit. This is saying everything that has to do with you. So even if this is your, if this is the state of your mind, if this is the state of your body, if this is the state of your spirit, man, it's saying that present, cause there to be a decisive dedication. Now, this is not a one-time thing. This is most likely a thing that you are doing. It's continuous. Presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service. So he's saying that this is the only thing that makes sense to God. When the life that you are desiring to live is living. I want us to say living first.
Living.
See, as a child of God, God doesn't appreciate that you are dead. I mean, unresponsive. Now, when the dead here is not the dead as per dead, that is a result of sin. The living here is a life that is responsive to God. Meaning if God pinches it, it responds to stimulus, right?
Yes, sir.
So this life is not the life that is just before God and it is unresponsive. So when he says it is living, he says it is alive. He says it is alive. It is living sacrifice. It is holy. Now, I mean, the word holy means separated, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what separated, particularly when it's used in the context of God, it means it is separated unto God. So it's a life that is responsive to God. So it means when this man or this woman is living day by day, and for us to say that this person is living a life or a normal Christian life, is that that life is responsive to God. Like the life, so if I were to use maybe the word transmitter and receiver. Now, it means that if it's a receiver, it means that life can receive signal. And if it's a transmitter, it means that life can transmit signal. But either ways, it's that this life is responsive. For example, it's that when God calls on this life, the life would respond. It would hear and it would say, God, here am I or here am I. You know, or you say, God, I'm here. Because before we confuse ourselves with. So if God says to that life, come, the life can come. The life has the ability to respond to that command. And it says, well pleasing. Let's go back to NKJV. So Apostle Paul was begging us here. You know, I beg you by the mercies of God. If there's anything you will consider reasonable, consider these three things. Now, this is not so much of a life that is manifesting for God. I mean, a life that takes what looks like God and goes out there to manifest it. But this is a life that makes sense to God. He says, this is your reasonable service. Meaning, if you would do any other thing that would make sense in the house of God, or that would make sense to you as a child of God, ensure you do these three things. Now, the question of, is my life acceptable before God is a good question to ask God. That is this life acceptable to you? Now, many a times, the reason why we find it very difficult to change and we are Christians is because we are not asking the owner of the life if the life that we are living or we are using the life for is acceptable to him. So for example, I can just think that I should be a whatever in God's house, or I should just be a child of God that looks like this. But we are not sure whether God has attested of that kind of life. So if God looks at me, will God say that this is how I want Laulu to be? Is this acceptable? Is this a life that I can find my approval on it? That's what acceptable means. Acceptable means that God has approved of this life. Acceptable means that this is the life that God has permitted. You know, I remember when we were in school, there were a lot of people that were struggling with, should I be listening to secular music or not? It's because you're not asking yourself that a life that listens to secular music, is it acceptable to God? Now, I'm not saying, is it acceptable to you? Because there is a righteousness that you have as a believer that some things are not acceptable to you. For example, there are some things that can spur irritation to you. And you feel like, oh, as a child of God, I don't like this thing. Now, this was one of the things that many of us struggled with, deciding between what God allows and what you allow. So at times, maybe you see somebody watching a movie. And then you're asking yourself, you know, as you're watching the movie, something is nudging you. Pause it. But I'm not even talking maybe like bad movie. I'm not even talking about bad. Like, but you're like, there's no bad scene in this movie. Now that movie is acceptable to you, but it's not acceptable to God. So that's why your spirit man is nudging you at that point, that pause that movie or go do something else or leave that place, go and pray or leave that stuff, go and sleep. So it's because we are not in the state to ask whether this thing is acceptable to God. Now, and Apostle Paul meant this by, like he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. This is the only thing that is reasonable for you. If you live a life that is not acceptable to God, it won't look like the life that God has approved of or God has attested of. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we go to, I think, Titus? No, go to Jude first. We'll come back to Titus. Just go to Jude first. Please don't lose me. Come here, please. Are we in Jude? So Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life, fire. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging wave of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about this man, also saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Now let's stop there. Now the reason I read all this is to identify, I think, two or three things. One is, Jude said he wanted to write to them about their common salvation, right? But after a while, he delved into people that would come into our midst, and their assignment or their mission is to ensure that the people are deceived. And the third one is, if you don't preserve the originality that God has embedded in salvation, you will be deceived by these people. Because they have a lot of outward appearance, but Jude, by discernment, said that these are cloud without water. Now, when you see cloud, you have the inclination that there should be water in it. But Jude is saying that if you don't understand what God considers acceptable, these ones would be able to take away what is in your hand. And then most likely they cause many to err. So, Apostle Jude was imploring us here. At least one of the things I want to bring out from here is, if we don't understand what God requires of us, then we will be deceived. You know, if we don't understand that what God demands of us is a life that is pleasing to Him, a life that is holy to Him, we will find it expedient. You know, last week I was going to say that when you don't live a normal Christian life, you will find every need to do other sacrifices. You will find it expedient doing other things that, in quotes, God will not consider that you are a serious person. See, this is why daily devotion that is done every day is more powerful than... And what is daily devotion? Daily devotion is presenting yourself living, responding to God every day. That's what daily devotion is. It's more powerful than, please excuse me, I need to go for 40 days. Because if you look at, maybe not so much about Cain, but if you look at the life of Balaam, you will find a man that has every... If we all see Balaam today, we'll call him the true man of God. But what was controlling Balaam was the lucre of money. That's the greediness of money. You know, when Balak told him that he should curse the children of Israel. And I think that's the first place where negotiation was happening in. And the Bible said he should add more to his money. No, you don't need to go there. So if you pay attention to the external, you can be deceived. If you live responding to God, living a holy life, now as simple as those are the things that make sense to God. He even says that if you are not sure of how to get this done, get your mind renewed first. Then you will know what is reasonable to God. That was what verse 2 was saying. He says, and be ye re-. He says, so that you can know what is good, acceptable and perfect will of God. When your mind is renewed, you will know what really makes sense to God. Yeah. Now, as it is now, some of us even think it's service in the house of God that first makes sense to God. Service to God is secondary. If a man is not living before God, or is not holy before God, or is not, what's the third one? Acceptable before God. Every other thing the person does is not reasonable to God. It's not a reasonable service. You know, some of us grew up in places that the first thing we introduced, even before salvation, is to serve God. Service, I mean natural service, cannot be converted to this kind of service if you're not living, or you are holy, or you are acceptable to God. Now, the reason why our natural service in the house of God is acceptable is because it's piped out through this kind of life. Even for a man, if a man of God lives these three things, he will keep preaching for years and it wouldn't be acceptable. It wouldn't make sense to God. See, friends, let me tell you, it's not everything that God sees that makes sense to him. It's just sad that there are many things that we would not know the true thing, or the true worth, or how much God values it until we see him. I'm serious. It's just sad that some things are like that. Some things God will reveal their nakedness here. You know, during the week, God was telling me that, friends, we rather stay on the foundations that cannot be shaken. You know that place in the Bible that it says, once again, I will shake the heavens and I will shake the earth. As we are approaching the end of time, things will be disturbed. I mean, things will be shaken. Things people have believed will be shaken. The foundations of men will be shaken, and the real true foundations will stay. But every other thing that we do, like I was saying, every other thing that we do that is not coming out of a life that is living, that is holy, that is acceptable to God. Friends, you can always ask God, this life that I'm living, is it acceptable? See, the appraisal of men will not get you the God reflection here. See, let me even tell you something. At times you might be thinking your pastor would know when you are not doing this. Your pastor may not know. This one is what they say, only God bears me witness. Am I responsive to God? Am I acceptable to God? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's just look at three scriptures that talks about just. Because these three things is what God sees as a just man, an upright man. Proverbs chapter 4, I think verse 28. I think it's 28. Oh, no, no, it doesn't have 28. Oh. 26, sorry. 26. I see it here. Amen.
Amen.
No, okay. No, no, go to 18. I think it's 18 I want to read. Put on the back of your feet and let. It says, but the path of the just. So when God sees a man, it's either the man is just or the man is not just. So what's just? Just is also when God says a man is upright. Like we always say, when we say a man is righteous, it means he's right standing with God. Like that's our definition of righteousness, right? But it's not like it's bad. But when God sees a man, God sees a man that is just or a man that is not just. But it says the path of the just. Now, you know, I think in Romans, we learned that the just shall what? Shall live by. Look, can we look at that? We'll come back here. Can we get that scripture? I think I have to rush now. Have you seen it? In Romans 1:17. Is it? Why are you in Hebrews? Okay, Hebrews also said it. Ah, okay, amazing. Thank you. It says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Actually, this was first rendered in Habakkuk. So the two places where it was a reference. Now, it says, the just. So when it says this just, this is the guy that is a living sacrifice. This is the guy that is acceptable to God. This is the guy that makes sense to God. So it says the just shall live by faith. The upright shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Let's look at the rendition in Habakkuk. I mean the original rendition. Do you know where it is? Okay. Okay. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright. Now, there are many people that are not upright. One is the proud. The proud is not upright. The proud is not just. The sinner, the murderer is not just. The liar is not just. The one that bears false witness against his brother is not just. There are many things that are not, or many people, don't let me say many things. Many people that are not just. But it says, behold the proud. I can even say that God has probably summarized every other person that is living a life that is not powered by God as the proud. He said, his soul is not upright in him. So God does not find delight or does not find any form of attraction in that guy that is proud. He says, but the just shall live by faith. So when we say the just, I'm saying the guy that is a living sacrifice before God, his life is powered by faith. His daily life is powered by faith. The man that is holy before God, the man that is acceptable before God, his life is powered by faith. That life that you desire to live every day should be a living sacrifice, should be a holy life, should be a life that is acceptable to God, and that means you will be just before God. So that's the first one. Can we look for, no, before they go back to Proverbs chapter 4, 18. It says the just shall live by faith. But here it also says the path of the just. Now this is not confession first. You know, when it's a part of justice, shining light, shining brighter and brighter. You can't shine your path yourself. It's not confession first. This is actually a resultant of, it says the path of the just, meaning the manner in which the just walks leads to a shining path. He says, but the path of the just is like. They didn't say when you walk just, your path will not begin. He says, the way of life of the just is like. So if your path is not shining already, it's not by you confessing it that then makes it what? Shine. He says, because he's living in a way that makes sense to God, he would not encounter darkness on his path. So you can see when we said on Sunday that a child of God should not be confused. This is what we are saying, because there's no darkness in his path. He says that life that shines ever brighter unto a perfect day. Can we read this in NLT, please? Someone will say we've been having short services on Wednesday. Yes, because we've been having a retreat for the past this is the second week. So we have to leave here in time and it says the way of the righteous. You know, like I said, the just is the guy that is upright, or is the guy that is righteous before God. It's like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. Now, we don't have time. I think this is trying to make a comparison between the first light, the light that breaks the dawn, as against the full, like the sun rising fully. So he's saying the life of the just, it has that kind of experience. When we say there's the dawn as, is it broken or break? Let's be careful. That's why I slowed down. I slowed down myself. So when they say, oh, the dawn is out. I mean, that's the best way I can say it. Now, from that time till when the sun is fully out, he says, when you look at a man that is just, that's the way his life is. It means his path is not muddled up. And that's why I tell folks that, see, a life that is stable, a life that is simple, and a life that is powered by God is simple, but is found, is locked up in the normal Christian living that God has given to you. It is not, see, every other thing that we would do should take us back to living better, to being a better holy people, to being better people that are acceptable to God. Like every other thing we will do should drive us back. And that's why when they say, you know, if your personal altar is not, when they use those phrases, it's not haphazard. It's just saying that you need to go back. You know, when they say your personal walk with God, you know, I know it was in school, we usually challenge ourselves. How is your walk with God? How is your walk with God? Those things are real. Because if you don't pay attention to them, there are other things that can get you out. Then you now begin to live a complex Christian life. Because when it's not normal again, it's not complex. It says, it's like the first gleam of dawn. Can we read this in Amplified? Maybe the way NLT put it is requires some. It says, but the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. So when I see someone who is really investing in being responsive to God, then I'm sure that that person can't be deceived. Like Jude said, you can't be deceived. You can't be deceived. See, one of the heritage of a child of God is that you should not be deceived. It actually pains God when you are deceived. Because the Bible says, the voice of the hireling you will not hear. So when you hear it, it pains God that you could respond You know, when he says, my sheep hears my voice, it means they can respond to him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that's what a normal Christian life is. You know, as we wrap up this, because this is where I'll tie up this whole normal Christian life. Let your life be as simple as God has made it. At times, when I go to schools, universities, this is one of the things I try to say first. Because there's a whole lot that people come into, and at the end of the day, is another person that is coming out of those experiences. At least I've seen little stuff. You know, I've seen people, because they say they want to do this Christian life, they don't have their bath again. And yeah, that's not the sacrifice God said you should do. Yeah, I've seen cases where we had to rush someone to the hospital because she started saying things that the head is not correct again. See, God is God. You are not God. See, the life that he has invited us to live, he is the owner of that life. The terms would never change. And that's why God has given us examples. Can we go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18? It says, the path of the just is like the shining light. Or it's like the shining sun. I think it's KJV that says shining light. That shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. This is the kind of life God wants us to live. You know, on Sunday I was going to say to us that any confusion that you've seen at all in your life is because you at one point in time deviated from responding to God. Because God wants us to live a life that is very, very clear. I mean, clear, like it's almost transparent. Like I said last week, if they asked you to explain this, your walk with God, it wouldn't be with eye-sounding words. And that's why it is foolishness to the people of the world. You know, at times, people would think there's just more to the way this life is. But there's nothing more to it. That's why it's the power of God unto salvation. See, if it's complex already, it can't save again. And that's why you can't use your life as an evangelism tool if it's already complex. If you would win souls, is that normal Christian life that you are living? That you understand, because it's what you understand you can use to win souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Our time is out. But we know we'll be back again next week, right?
Yes, sir.
But I think that's all I would want to share with us around this and close out on this. I think on Sunday, we'll just finish up on the formation of the Lord's army. And we thank God that he has spoken to us as well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God be with us.